Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. I'm Riley Pollock with you today. We've got a big show lined up here. Of course, we'll talk to Lou right away here. And then at 12:30, we have Brad Curl, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen. And of course, an OBS with Brian Burke to wrap up the show before Pat Steinberg in at 1 o'clock. Well, it was a big win for the Flames last night. They took down the Boston Bruins, and then we'll continue their road trip in Nashville tomorrow night. And with more on that, let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Lou, when you talk about team efforts and playing for 60 minutes and all lines contributing, all the cliches we spout off here on Hockey Central, they certainly applied yesterday in Boston for the Calgary Flames. Now, you've had a little time to think about it, got on the plane, get to Nashville, but that has got to be, if not number one, maybe two of the best efforts for the Flames all season.
It's one for me.
Yeah.
Considering the team that you played, the circumstances, you're adding new people to the mix. You never know exactly how that's going to go early in the process outside of, you know, they're going to be excited. Kelly, there are some nights this year from the drop of the puck, you could tell that it was going to be a tough night. Last night, I could almost tell from the drop of the puck that it was going to be a really good night. They skated. Their details were excellent. Even if you go back to the first period, you know, the Bruins had really two great shifts in the first, one that led to their power play, and then they were dangerous on the power play. Outside of that, Calgary was just absolutely spot on throughout their lineup, how they defended, how they tracked, how they checked, how they forechecked. That was just an absolutely splendid display of hockey against one of, if not the best teams in the National Hockey League. And, you know, when you do what they did in that building and even how they managed the game, Kelly, which we've talked about that, haven't we, a lot this year?
Mm-hmm. So
even when the game gets tricky at 3-2 and the
push comes,
and the push comes, there was absolutely almost next to nothing in their system play. Their effort was superb. Their goaltending was excellent. Outside of giving up a shorthanded goal, I don't know what wasn't to like about the Calgary Flames last night. That was a terrific hockey game that they played in Boston.
And we talked about, you know, the perfection line for the Boston Bruins, and they are very, very good. But, you know, credit where credit is due, the Michael Backlund line. Michael Backlund, in his time in Calgary in the last few years, he sort of seems to relish those opportunities where he has to shut down a line, and not just shut down the line, but maybe contribute on the other 90 feet. And I just thought it was just one of those games that were just fit him perfectly, and he kind of lifted the other guys, and it was just one of those nights where it's like that line was just spectacular.
They were the best line in the game, and that's not something that you say very often when you go up as a team against the Bergeron line. But the interesting twist, Kelly, last night was, unlike the game in Calgary where they were very much head-to-head, they weren't head-to-head a lot of the night. That fell in a couple of different places. They found themselves a lot of the night against the Charlie Coyle line, and all three of them, Mangiapane, again, just outstanding work, win battles, track back. Matthew Tkachuk, Kelly, that's an elite performance by an elite player. And the one thing about Matthew that I find is, you know, the smarts are off the charts. He can make plays. He can go to hard places. But when he skates the way he did last night, he's elite. He was elite. I thought he was just a little better than anybody else. You know, that's a hard one. There were so many good players. But, you know, he scores. He adds two assists. he was spectacular. And I'll use the same line I've only used 1,000 times on this radio station about Michael Backlund. When Michael Backlund is a terrific two-way center iceman, this team doesn't get beat very often. And they didn't get beat last night. Two more goals. He has 36 points now in the year. Kelly, 21 of them have come in the last 22 games. He is moving his feet. He is engaged. He's winning battles. His body language is very different. He feels great about himself and his game. And remember, he spent a lot of time this year where he went through the transition of playing with Monahan and Gaudreau on the wing and did a good job there. But he desperately, and he asked Jeff Ward and the coaching staff, he wanted to go back to his natural spot. And when he got back there, you made the most of it. Come into your office all the time and ask if they can do things. And you have for a long time. Well, you will give them those opportunities. But when you give them, somebody needs to take advantage. And Michael has more than taken advantage. He, for the last 3 weeks in particular, is playing at about as good a level as I've seen him. And that group, night in and night out lately, has, you know, everybody likes to number lines. I don't. But right now, that's this hockey team's best line.
We I wish you could have heard the morning show today. You had Matty staging it, and he getting more and more comfortable talking about, you know, games, and really gives us that insight. And he talked about protecting the house. And you know what I mean? And he said everybody bought in. Everybody collapsed and protected the house. And that's that nice chunk of real estate in front of your net. And he says when everybody does it, it kind of, you know, it's not just the D, it's the forwards. And everybody bought in last night because they knew they had to, right? They knew they had to. This is Boston. This is a team that really, you know, can make you look silly. And he said, essentially, they gave the Bruins a little taste of their own medicine. They did to Boston what Boston did to Calgary in the third period and late second period of the game on Friday night. And that is progress. That is something to be said. I thought it was an interesting take from a guy that hasn't been retired for too long, but maybe comment on kind of the unsung stuff that people were doing last night.
Well, I mean, you know, who would know better than Matty? And Matty, from the first time I met him at 17 as a member of the Belleville Bulls, it was pretty evident how cerebral and smart and all the leadership qualities. But, Kelly, the basics for people listening in the sport of hockey is you want to take away the middle of the ice, and you do want to defend that area defensively. You want to shrink that area with your five guys. That's really the goal, to take that away. On the other side of the coin, what you want to do in somebody else's end is open up that area. And the Flames clearly won that battle. And they're tracking without the puck. The Bruins are who they are because, as we saw in Calgary, even though they didn't overwhelm the Flames, you know, they impose their will. They roll over their lines. Their assignments are carried out beautifully. They have high-end people who can really hurt you. But the great teams in this league who do it night in and night out, it's about one thing. It's about, well, two things. It's about the details and the work. And it was outstanding. The Flames did beat the Bruins at their own game. They forechecked better. They created more space in the offensive zone. They gave up less space than the Bruins were able to in their own end of the rink. They were smart. When they didn't have a play in their own zone, pucks got out. They were simple. They were effective. And they, you know what else they were, Kelly, last night? And, you know, even the addition of a forward, the way Michael Stone played. I thought Michael Stone had his best game of the whole year last night. And he had an assist. He played 17 and a half. He sealed guys off. He made smart plays with the puck. That's the kind of night that they had. And the other group that, I don't know if they talked about this morning, that really helped them win was the Jankowski line.
Yeah, well, they talked about that line being out when it was important, and the third line struggled a little bit compared to the other guys, and to have them out in really, you know, tense situations says a lot.
Jeff Ward was incredibly comfortable. The two lines that saw a lot of the Bergeron line were the Monahan line, which we talked about yesterday, and Jeff's ability to feel confident and comfortable on the road when he didn't have the last change. He was more than happy in the last 5-6 minutes of the game to match Jankowski's line with Bennett and Reeder against the Bruins' big line. And that, when you have that, those guys, to me, along with a Michael Stone, were the unsung heroes of that game last night. Because when you can be even in that matchup, and at times they caused the Bruins' best guys to spend more time than they wanted in their own end of the rink, that line was outstanding in its own right and gave Jeff Ward and company huge and very important minutes. When I looked down and there was 2 minutes left in the game, and you know, Jeff had an opportunity to get another line out there against them with an offensive zone faceoff for the Bruins, didn't do it.
Yeah.
He stayed with that group. And again, you know what that does? That gives that group confidence.
Yeah.
That's how confidence happens.
Yeah. He put us in the situation and we, you know, he'll do it again because it was the right decision, obviously. Let's talk a little bit about the new guys. They did kind of insert two new players on the back end. How did you assess how Forbort and Gustafson played?
Well, Forbort was just everything that he is when he's good. Big, heavy block shots, used him on the penalty kill, simple in his own zone, hard. You know, a big body to whether seal people out, get in shooting lanes, look very comfortable in his pairing with Erik Gustafson. Gustafson, to me, Kelly, was a standout. His ability to process the game, move the puck, feed transition, he is so comfortable. And what we talked about yesterday on the show and on the pregame show was I truly felt that the power play was a massive reason why they went out and added this player. And Jeff Ward wasted no time having him anchor their number one power play unit. And he made 3 or 4 decisions, Kelly, that I haven't seen from a guy running the top of the power play in a long time. He's deceptive. To put it in simple forms for our listeners, what really allows great offensive players to be that is they're making a play in their mind before they ever have the puck. And while that seems like it should be easy, it's not. And even some incredibly gifted players at this level, that's not a real strength for them. But his ability to see the next play before he ever has the puck. On that power play goal that they scored, he makes in a phone booth just a little hold off the forward, chip it back to the point, then make himself available. Puck gets to the net, puck goes in the net. His subtleties, the way he processes, how comfortable he is with it, and that's in game one with a brand new group. I think this guy is going to add a lot to this hockey team. And when you play the way the Flames do, and they want to play fast and they want to be really good in transition, when you have another key element on your defense that can process it and see it and read it and make plays, that's a big add. And especially, Kelly, think in a race like this, how important the power play is going to be down the stretch. And it's been stagnant. It's one of the reasons they went out and got this guy. They haven't really liked it a whole bunch all year. They haven't really liked it since the 60-game mark of last year. But if that becomes more dangerous, it does two things. A, it can win you games because special teams win you games. But, Kelly, who starts to feel better about their offensive game when your power play is going?
Well, it's the defensive guys do, and the defensemen, rather, and kind of everybody, really. I mean, your top gunners.
Players.
And Yeah.
Your best players get fed. And when they start to eat and
they like
feel better, guess where it translates to? your 5-on-5 game. That's the part that people don't always talk about or see. That's a really key part. When you're playing well on the power play, which always involves your best offensive people, it can really kickstart them, whether it's in a season, a part of a season, or even during a game. And last night was a perfect example. That power play goal comes at a really important time in the game.
It sure did. It sure did. Now the Flames move into Nashville, and it's one of those things where it's like, enjoy last night. That's great. But here we go with a team that's nipping at your heels, trying to get a wild card spot. The Flames have always had very entertaining games that are usually very close with the Nashville Predators. They've had some weird ones. They've had some wild ones. And now, you know, the pressure's amped up that much more because, you know, the Preds need points. So do the Flames. And, you know, come tomorrow night, that is going to be a tall task. Do we have an idea? We thought maybe that the captain might play, but it turns out they rest him for one more game. I guess we'll see. But that obviously would make a big boost as Gio has missed 10 games in a row.
Well, what I hope that didn't happen yesterday was that he hasn't pushed himself a little too hard to get in, and you hope that there wasn't some kind of setback.
Yeah.
Because the intel really yesterday, pretty good chance he was going to play, and then he didn't, and that's fine, and probably in some ways it worked out for the best. You can't take any chances with him. But, you know, a full day of rest today for the team and potentially for him, if he has pushed it a little bit, they have the best, you know, medical staff that you'd find in hockey. So he's been well looked after. And, you know, tomorrow again, we'll have a pretty good idea in the morning skate as to whether it's a possibility. He desperately wanted to go yesterday. You could tell, I could see it in his body language, in his scrum, but he wasn't quite ready, and you can't take chances. You'd love to have him. And, you know, that'll be a big storyline certainly tomorrow. But the other storyline is you can't afford a drop off, Kelly.
Nope.
You have a bonus couple of points, but the three games that I really had circled on this trip were Detroit, Nashville, and against the Florida Panthers. Because when you play teams like Boston and Tampa in their building with the types of teams, not a lot of teams are going in there and winning. In fact, last night, if people don't know, was only the third regulation loss for the Bruins all year at home. But the games you have to win, to me, end up more often than not determining the race. So there, do I expect the Flames to be as good as they were in Boston tomorrow? Probably. I mean, that's a hard one to match. That was their best of the year. But what you can't afford is you can't afford a big drop-off.
No.
And hasn't that kind of been the story this year?
Slow starts and sleeping, and we had the stat on yesterday where 9 times they've let the first shot on goal in.
Not in the net.
Yeah, you just can't have that. So we'll see what happens. Now, a little programming note: we don't have Hockey Central tomorrow because
we have a junior hockey game.
We do. The Calgary Hitmen take on the Winnipeg Ice as part of their anti-bullying campaign. So love to have that game on the radio. So I imagine we'll push it kind of into the Steinberg show or maybe with Ryan, but we will talk to you on Friday for sure, because it'll be time for the mailbag again, Lou.
I love a good mailbag. You know what else I love?
What's
I
that?
Love a good steak at Roost Chris.
Yeah, exactly. All right, have a good day, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, sir. You as well.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
There you go, Peter Loubardias with Kelly Kirsch today on Hockey Central at noon. Coming up in a few minutes, we have Brad Curl, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen. And then after that, No BS with Brian Burke before we give way to Pat Steinberg at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, Lou's mailbag is back. Ask your burning Flames question at sportsnet.ca/960 and tune in Fridays at noon to hear if Peter Loubardias answers yours. You could win a pair of lower bowl tickets to an upcoming Flames game and a $100 gift card to Ruth's Chris. Lou's mailbag brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, your private dining destination. Do business across the dinner table, not the conference table. All right, when we come back, It is Brad Curl with Kelly Kirsch. You are listening to Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Riley Pollock back with you for Hockey Central at noon. We just heard from Peter Loubardias in the first segment. Now let's hear from the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, Brad Curl. He's with Kelly Kirsch.
It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. Thanks for keeping us around today. We got Pat Steinberg coming out at 1 o'clock. And then after that, it's the return of Ryan Pinder. Pinder and Steinberg right till 6 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And can chat a little hockey. Missed him on the trade deadline day because it was kind of frenzied around here, but we wanted to hook up with our Brad Curl, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, to get a bit of a Hitmen inside look and also see what's happening in the Western Hockey League. That BC road trip, we talked about it as one of those trips that can bring the guys together. Brad, you've been in the league a long, long time. Sometimes that's what you need. There've been some changes. There's been some injuries. There's been trades. There's been all kinds of stuff. And it just seemed that maybe that trip, it seemed that the guys were pulling for each other a little bit more than normal. Give us your thoughts on how things went in British Columbia.
Yeah, I agree with you first and foremost about, you know, an opportunity to spend some quality time together. It's a Hitmen team that lives in all four quadrants of the city, and it's tough to get together on a weeknight and just hang out as a team and bond. So to go on the road, you really have to take advantage of that. And first and foremost, talking to the coaching staff, they were real pleased with the way that their schedule set up. It's very similar to that of an NHL schedule, and basically the same schedule that the Flames are on right now, a five-game road trip where you play, have a day off. You play, you have a day off, and then you go back-to-back, but not till the end of the trip. And that's exactly what started for Calgary, where they had an opportunity to leave on a Thursday, drive as far as Jasper, stay overnight, then on the Friday go into Prince George and practice, and get ready to play on Saturday. And you could see it. They were fresh. They were ready to go. They jumped out to a 4-0 lead and then cruised to a 4-2 victory. So game one in the books with a victory. Game number two, boy, every now and then you get one of those where maybe something happens that you never saw coming. And this was one of those nights. They're in Kelowna. It's a holiday Monday, and they're down 5-1 going to the third period. But the minute they made it 5-2, 3:56 into the third, you got the sense that, boy, Kelowna's starting to tighten up here. They just don't look comfortable, even though they're up by three. And sure enough, Calgary makes it 5, all the way back to 5-5, tie it with, you know, a minute and a half to go, and then win it in overtime. And all of a sudden, you're two games into a trip, and all of a sudden, the foundation is poured. Guys are feeling good about themselves. You've done the improbable from a 5-1 down. You're 2-0 on the trip. You're having fun. And you just kind of take that momentum with you onto the trip. So then it goes into Victoria. Same situation where you find yourself down going to the third period, but only down a goal. And that seems so minute compared to the hole you dug out of in Kelowna. And sure enough, Mark Kastelic ties it in the third. Then they go to 6 rounds of the shootout, and Orca Wiseblatt wins it, and all the momentum is in their court. But then it's on to Vancouver, and you're thinking, okay, this snowball going down the hill is unstoppable, and you're 3-0 on the trip. Well, all of a sudden, you're on into Bowen Byram of the Vancouver Giants, and you know what you did to Kelowna kind of comes back at you, where you're up 5-2 in the third. This one goes the other way. The Giants score 4 unanswered, and you lose the hockey game 6-5. Now, that can rattle your cage. It can punch you in the gut, and you wonder, okay, how are you going to respond from that, especially on a back-to-back? Well, they end up this five-game road trip going into Kamloops. And as the games went on, Kelly, should note in this, the games got progressively more difficult in terms of the quality of the teams in the standings. Their last game was against the best team in that division, the BC division, in Kamloops in Calgary. You know, they responded very well. Got the first 2 goals of the game, complete control for the most part, win it 6-4, come home 4-1 on the road trip. This might be one of those where you circle at the end of the year and go, that was the springboard from here to get them to there. We'll find out if it materializes. But all in all, thumbs up.
And, you know, there's some big distances, too, and you got to get on the ferry and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of neat how, obviously, the Hitmen have done that before. So logistics, they know all about it. But it might be one of those things when you look back at the season and, you know, whatever happens in the playoffs, you kind of go, you know, I think the guys kind of came together on that trip. Would that be a fair statement? I guess we'll have to see.
For sure. There was a lot of things there that they had experienced for the first time. For some of the players, they'd never been to British Columbia before. They, of course, never had been on the ferry before. And you could just see the excitement in their eyes. And, you know, the one thing about being on the road is you have a roommate that's a teammate. You go to breakfast together. You go to the practice rink together. You come back to the hotel, you have your pregame meal together. You go to the rink, you play together. After the game, you go out on another meal as a group. So you're always around the team. It's 24/7. Now, sometimes you might go, okay, enough of you guys. I've seen you for 10 days in a row, but you never got that sense for this group. It was, you know, when you're having success, you're having fun, you're cheering for the guy beside you when he does something well, and you could just see it ripple down through the lineup. So there was a lot of team building on this trip for sure. And to your point, it might be one of those where you look back and go, they were a tight group before it all began, but now they're even a tighter bond. And to face some of the adversity that you can draw on is as a reflection in the playoffs. You know, the postseason, you're going to have some, you know, some things come at you maybe you're not expecting. Well, for Calgary, they can now go and go, hey, we were down 5-1 in Kelowna. We came back to win that one. You can draw on those experiences and reference it and bring some confidence to situations that otherwise might be troublesome. So this is a big trip, and I think it's going to have a bit of a legacy with this team.
Brad Curl is our guest, the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tomorrow, something special, Brad. We've been doing this for a few years now, looking forward to it again. Don't normally have a Hitmen game in the morning on a weekday, but that's what we have tomorrow. As Rob Kerr and Mike Moore and all your crew there have been working hard for this anti-bullying game. It's become a tradition in Calgary. You take on Winnipeg tomorrow. We're going to be all over it with a pregame show starting at 10 o'clock with Matt Rose and yourself, and then play-by-play at 11. Talk a little bit about the message and maybe the game as well, because it's special on both accounts.
Yeah, we'll start with the message, and that is be brave. It was a game that is now 4 years old for the organization. And as you mentioned, it's all about promoting end of bullying, empower students with, you know, tools and how to deal with a bully, maybe do how to confront a bully, maybe just raise awareness. I didn't know I was a bully, those types of things. There's going to be over 12,000 students from Calgary and area schools that'll be in attendance. So the cool part of it is it's Pink Shirt Week, as we know, Pink Shirt Day today. But at this game on Thursday, all 12,000 kids in attendance are going to receive a T-shirt that is pink. And it's kind of a sign of solidarity to stand up against bullying. And not only that, that underlying message, but some powerful speakers as well. Randy Chevrier, now a Calgary firefighter, but a three-time Grey Cup champ and a former Calgary Stampeder. This is a cause that's near and dear to him. He goes across the country working as a Dare to Care ambassador. We'll also have a couple of other speakers. Kelsey Moore, she's a 2020 Calgary Stampede princess. And, you know, she's going to talk about her story, about how she was bullied as a kid and had to switch schools because of it and suffered anxiety and depression for many years because of the impacts of bullying. So very powerful message. And then from the hockey background, Bridget Laquette, first Indigenous hockey player to be named to Canada's national women's team, and she won a silver medal in 2018. She's a role model for young First Nations athletes. So just some real good speakers that'll be layered in throughout the day, and we're going to bring all of those voices onto our radio broadcast tomorrow to tell their story. So just a real cool event. You know, the Calgary Hitmen do a number of these games that go beyond hockey. We see it with the teddy bear toss, where the teddy bears end up into the hands of so many great recipients, including kids at the Alberta Children's Hospital. This is another one of those that leaves a bit of a legacy in the community, a great message for all youth to hear, anti-bullying message. On the ice, be an interesting one. You know, if you're the Winnipeg Ice right now, Kelly, you got to be going, thank God we're not playing Edmonton. They're coming off a back-to-back against the Oil Kings, where they've been outscored 15-1.
Yikes.
They lost 10-1 yesterday. Yikes is right. They lost 10-1 yesterday up in Edmonton in their school day game. Hearing the comments of James Patrick, the former Flames defenseman and now head coach of the Ice, he said, we did not have a good start, and that's on me. So he's taking, the blame, if you will. But if I'm a player, I'm going, hey, the coach has taken a bullet for us. Now it's our turn to respond. But in listening to Patrick's comments after the game yesterday, he was basically said they needed a long video session to try and clean up some of the messy areas that they had on the ice. So you've got a Winnipeg Ice team that's licking its wounds against a Calgary Hitmen team that's arguably playing some of its best hockey of the season. Clinching a playoff spot did the Hitmen in Kamloops on Saturday. They're going to the playoffs for the second year in a row, for the eighth time in 9 years, and How about for the 21st time in 25 years in franchise history against the Winnipeg Ice team that is in a battle over there trying to find their way to the top of that East Division. So on the ice, got a terrific hockey game, the Winnipeg Ice and the Calgary Hitmen, but a great message off the ice as well with the anti-bullying game.
It'll sound fun because it'll be a big crowd there and it'll be noisy and it's always a good time. So looking forward to that. You talked about the standings and the playoff ramifications. And as we talk today, the Calgary Hitmen are in the first wild card in the East, which means they would play the Prince Albert Raiders. But hold the phone, they're not that far away from maybe catching a Medicine Hat or Paris of Thought, maybe even Lethbridge. The Hitmen have been, you know, lights out, 7-3-0, been strong. It's hard to kind of figure this out, and you know, you play the games as they come along, but we've got a few more games to go, another road trip to go. I'm just curious to see where you think this is all going to end up, because I had the Hitmen sort of in that wild card and thought that's the way it's going to be. They're probably going to go to Winnipeg or PA for the first round, but not so sure all of a sudden. Might be another rematch of last year, right?
Well, there's a possibility. There are 11 games left. Counting tomorrow against Winnipeg. And as it sits right now, I looked at it, Calgary can play one of six teams. They could get Brandon, they could get Edmonton, could be Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Saskatoon, or Winnipeg. So the end result, they could be wild card one where they are right now. They could fall to wild card two, or within the division, they could get up to two or three. And you know, home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs is not out of the realm of possibility. So it's amazing what a good road trip can do for your group and give you some opportunities. And that's what it's done. Going 4-1 on that BC road trip all of a sudden puts them within 2 points of the Medicine Hat Tigers and within 6 points of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, who they will get in this building on Sunday in the Forever a Hitman honoring of Kelly Kissio. So the opportunity is there for Calgary. You're right, for them to maybe get out of that wild card spot. I don't think anybody at this point has an idea of who they're going to play. As mentioned, it could be one of six, but they certainly got to be like the way that they're playing as a group right now.
Let's talk a little bit about who's injured and how long and that kind of stuff. Give us an update on what's happening with the roster and injuries and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll look at the BC road trip, and they were, for the most part, able to get out of it healthy with one exception. And ironically, in the last game against the Kamloops Blazers, Josh Prokop went down in the first period, and we got word yesterday that Prokop is going to miss upwards of 3 weeks. Now, this is a pretty big loss for the Calgary Hitmen. He's their number one right winger. He's got 15 goals this year, plays on that line with Riley Stotts and Mark Kastelic. So the one thing the Hitmen have had this year, as you know, Kelly, they've had a lot of injuries. Yegor Zamula remains on the shelf, but not expected to play this year. The Flyers prospect out with back surgery. And Andrew Biggers, who they had recalled from the BCHL after the trade deadline on January 10th, he suffered an upper body injury in his first game following the deadline, and he's out indefinitely. So those are the three players on the shelf right now. Josh Prokop, the latest to join the ranks, and be interesting to see how they can forge on without Prokop. The one thing that Calgary does have this year is a tremendous amount of depth. They've got a multitude of players. Of their 12 skaters on every given night, most times it's 9 or 8 that can play either the wing or center ice. They've got a lot of versatility in their group. And when Josh Prokop went down in Kamloops, they promoted Cale Zimmerman up to that spot. So they do have some options to move some people around, but definitely going to be without Josh Prokop, those 15 goals. And, you know, he's been a great player at both ends of the rink. His plus-minus second best on the team at plus 27. So that's a big void to fill, but they've been able to push through the bumpy waters to this point with over 120 man games lost to injury. We'll see if they can continue to forge ahead here.
And talk about the goaltenders and how things have been matching up and who's playing the most and who's looking good, that kind of stuff. And people are always interested in how things are going there.
Yeah, it's interesting. On that BC road trip, both players had moments. You know, you look at Braden Peters, and he was the guy early, and then he got pulled in Kelowna, and then Jack McNaughton came in, and he rattled off a couple of wins, including 4 straight saves in the shootout in Victoria. The Royals had 3 chances to win it in the shootout, could not, and then Orca Weisblatt scored, and they needed another save from McNaughton to get it done. And then, you know, when Vancouver orchestrated that comeback, that meant they went back to Braden Peters in Kamloops. And you know, you win the hockey game 6-4, you think, well, goaltending's not a major factor. Kind of high scoring, 10 goals. But Peters made 46 saves as Kamloops fired 50 shots that night. So they're the luxury right now. It doesn't seem to matter who gets the net. they've been able to get it done with a bit of a tandem here. And, you know, the results are reflective. You've got Braden Peters with 15 wins as a rookie goaltender, Jack McNaughton with 17 wins. And what allows you to do, Kelly, is when you get any stretches, which the Hitmen are about to enter beginning on Thursday with their Be Brave anti-bullying game, they're going to play 7 games in 10 days. That's a lot of hockey. So you want to be able to use both goaltenders. And right now they do have the luxury to either throw Peters or McNaughton in the net. And NHL scouts are watching both these guys closely. Both are eligible for the draft this year. McNaughton was ranked in the last set of rankings by Central Scouting. Peters was not, but Peters, since that rankings report, has played some great hockey. So I think both of these goaltenders are getting a lot of conversation around the war room about whether or not, okay, who do you like better? And the guy that you pick, yeah, who do you have, you know, how high do you rank them, that sort of thing. So
yeah,
some youth in that Hitman net with an 18 and a 17-year-old, but definitely some experience as well.
Yeah, that's the neat part. These young guys, the best is yet to come for them, too. So that's really cool to see. I guess, were you guys in Kelowna when they made the coaching change, or did that happen afterwards? Because I thought that was, as I was kind of flipping through my news feeds going, That's very interesting that you fire the head coach, a guy that has NHL experience, and the guy that was the dad of the captain. I mean, a little strange in Kelowna, as they maybe a little nervous about hosting the Memorial Cup in May when they're just struggling to have a decent wild card team.
Well, it's interesting because we went to Victoria after that comeback win in Kelowna, and all the media was asking me, kind of joking, boy, the Hitmen are coach killers this year, hey? Because earlier this year, the Hitmen had played the Moose Jaw Warriors and beaten Moose Jaw. Then the next day, Tim Hunter was let go. And then they beat the Kelowna Rockets. And then the next day, Adam Foote was let go. But you could tell going in that there was a lot of, I shall say, mixed emotions in Kelowna would probably be the best way to put it. There was a lot of people I spoke to there that said they're not playing very well, but they haven't had a lot of their team together. Nolan Foote, who we all watched win gold medal with Team Canada at the World Juniors, and, you know, a high NHL prospect, had missed basically 2 months of the season. And there was another host of bodies that had not been around as well. So Kelowna had got in kind of sputtering a little bit, but a lot of people thought was just to the health. But there was others that I spoke to that said that this team is a mess structurally. They're not in a good spot. And, you know, when you get booed off the ice on in your own rink, that's a tough one to swallow. And that's exactly what happened when the Hitmen came back from that 5-1 deficit and won it in overtime. Kelowna got booed off the ice as they left. And you knew something, that if something was going to happen, this may have been the cause. And, you know, to their credit, you know, it's not an easy decision. As you mentioned, there's a little bit of a politics there, in the sense that the coach has his son on the team that is the captain. And many wondered, do you even make that move? You know, if you let Adam Foote go, how does that impact his son, Nolan? Does Nolan all of a sudden get a little upset about it? Maybe you lose your captaincy. But, you know, to the Rockets' credit, since that coaching change, Kelly, they've got 5 of a possible 6 points. They went into Victoria, beat the Royals. Then they lost in a shootout. And last night they went into Prince George and beat the Cougars. So sometimes you just need to change up the message a little bit. And it seems as though that the coaching change has helped in the short term. When you host the Memorial Cup, it's a special opportunity. You don't want to just host. You want to maybe win it. And Kelowna did that back in 2004, the last time they hosted it. They're hoping to repeat history here this year in 2020. But it won't be with Adam Foote.
So, Brad, take us through it. We've got a game tomorrow. We'll be on the radio Friday and Sunday. So just give us the schedule and air times and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you betcha. So tomorrow, 11 o'clock in the morning is the play-by-play. We'll have it all for you with Matt Rose, our host, beginning at 10 o'clock. It's the Calgary Hitmen and the Winnipeg Ice. And then on Friday, that'll be a tricky one as well. We've got the call for you. Again, a one-hour pregame show begins at 6, 7 o'clock play-by-play. The Brandon Wheat Kings in town, and it's ironic that Brandon will be in, not necessarily in the building, but they'll be in the city getting ready to take on the Hitmen. As a matter of fact, they're going to practice after the game tomorrow, so Dave Lowry's team will be ready to go. And then on Sunday, Lethbridge Hurricanes come into town. It'll be a 4 o'clock start. We'll have that one joined in progress following the Flames game down in Florida. And it'll be a special day because Kelly Kissio will be honored. A banner will be raised to the rafters. Spent 18 years with the organization, primarily as the general manager, did coach, but his resume second to none, 2 WHL titles, 9 trips to the conference finals and beyond, playoffs in 17 of his 18 seasons. It doesn't matter who I talk to, whether it's Kelly McCrimmon, now the GM in Vegas, or Brent Sutter, the general manager in Red Deer, two peers who worked alongside Kelly when he was GM with the Hitmen, and they say, what a deserving honor for Kelly and long overdue. So that's the common sentiment I'm getting from all colleagues of his, is just a special, special talent, and the results that I spoke of are evident. So it'll be a great day for Kelly and his family. He's a quiet guy, doesn't have a lot to say, but I'm sure this will mean a ton to him. So we'll have all three games, and we'll have them for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, we look forward. Thanks for helping us out on a Wednesday for the Hitmen Insider. Thanks so much, and we'll be listening tomorrow as it's a special game from the Saddledome. Thanks so much, Brad.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
There we go. That is Hockey Central Noon. Brad Curl, our Western Hockey League Insider. Next, it's No BS right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is No BS with Berkey and Marek on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We all know the greats, Wayne, Mario, Bobby, Gordy, Rockets. But what about the greats who never made it? The hockey world is scattered with heartbreaking stories of talent either squandered or wasted. Who are the never wases and should have beens? Berkey tells us next on No BS.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.ca/save. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.ca/save. That's ziprecruiter.ca/save. ziprecruiter.ca/save.
Berkey, we've heard all the stories. This guy was so good, and if it wasn't for that knee injury or that coach or that team that buried him or the whatever, he had a shot at being one of the all-timers. Who are some of those guys that you either saw or played with who could have been that guy?
Well, two guys leaped to mind. One was my roommate for my first 2 years of college. I played with at Providence, was named John McMorrow. He lives in New Hampshire now. And he was a high pick with the Rangers back when it was really something to be a high pick. Phenomenal wrist shot, good skater, good guy. Got hurt every year at Providence College. He got hurt, has suffered a major injury every single year. But I thought he was going to be a really good NHL player. I think he would have been. Alexander Daigh is a guy who's drafted. Everyone makes fun of him now.
Mm.
And we took Chris Pronger that year, obviously, in Hartford. But we had Daigh right up there with those other guys. So Grattan was in that draft, and Niedermeyer was in that draft, Robbie. Paul Kariya was in that draft. We had Daigh right up there in the group. We had Chris Pronger rated number one. But I thought Daigh was going to be a good NHL player. The other guy is a guy, Leif Ferlin, who we drafted in Vancouver. World Juniors in 1987-88, so it would have been technically 88, I guess. My first World Junior, Pat Quinn said, one of us ought to go over to Moscow to the World Junior. Well, guess who one of us was? It was me. And Leif Ferlin played for Team Sweden. He ended up playing for the Canucks years and years later. But he looked like, I thought, the best defenseman in the tournament. I wanted to take him in the first round, and Mike Penny said, no, as our chief scout, still works for them. We can get this kid in the second round. Anyway, we took him too soon. He ended up playing briefly. But when I first saw him play, I thought, this guy cannot miss. And the other guy would be Steve Alley. And Steve Alley's still around. I played summer hockey against him. He was a guy that played at the University of Wisconsin and played for the 1976 U.S. Olympic team. And I thought this guy was going to be a superstar in the National Hockey League. He played in the WHA, played a bit in the NHL, I think, but never worked out. I thought he was the best player I saw in that summer league, which had all the top U.S. college players in it from the West. I thought he was going to be a star. Good guy, too. To tell you how good he was, his nickname was Steve Unreality. It's Steve Alley. Steve Unreality, they call him, because he was unreal. So, yeah, he was a stud. I thought this guy's going to play 20 years in the National Hockey League and score 400 goals.
The Foothills Hospital Home Lottery is back. Enjoy looking over the Bow River from your $2.6 million grand prize show home, complete with $100,000 cash. Plus, you could win Alberta's biggest early bird prize, the $1.1 million penthouse condo located in the heart of Canmore. From incredible vacations to the ride of your life, there's something for everyone. Tickets now available at foothillshospitalhomelottery.com.
Want Brian to answer your question here? Use the hashtag #HeyBerkey on social media. Thanks for listening to No BS.